Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You are the first to arrive.
Okay.
Quiet time again, huh?
Well, just a busy time always for ladies, I guess. It's just part of our life. Get everything in.
Has joined.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
So we will begin. Lushemi Hud Kut Shabri Huish Kinte, Bitki Lur Himu Utki Lutki Lur Himu. The Achta, Lushem, Yudhe Bavate, the Yehuda Shalim Bashem Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah. La sok Torah mitzvah. Vayihino am Adonai Eloheinu alenu maasei yadenu kenunei alenu maasei yadenu kenunei. we'll connect to the Zohar verse on certainty. It comes from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar from Parasha Yitro. It's Pasuk 29. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Atar Tane Nandukudja Berichu Koma Deaved Leela Witata Kola Ihu Kishot Biovada Dikshot Le Blach Mila Bialma Divai Barnash, Vedach Yaleya, Mineya Ulan Haga, Veya Kalana, Dehakulu Ovada, Dikshot Inun, Wikola Itzterich, Be Alma. The energy of the year 5774 is peace in the Middle East. Study a verse from the Tanakh to connect to this energy. The verse we study is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom le'ami le'Yisrael untati v'shakan. Ta'ta willow yergas, od willow yosifu. Vene avla la'anoto, ka'asher barishona. The year 5781, our current year, has the energy of redemption. And in order for us to be redeemed, the children of Israel need to be prepared. The way that preparation takes place is through the study of one verse from the Tanakh, which is Isaiah chapter 66, verse 21. Wegam mehem ekach lakohanim laleviim. Amar Adonai Yohewahe Adanu Yohewahe Dawanu Heyo. We will now connect to the 72 names of God, utilizing the tool of saying each letter with its root vowel out loud in sequence. Begin momentarily. My computer jumps around today, like every day. Wahe wa yo la yo sa yo te ala me. Me he she La la hey aka aka heta. Hey zayo ala da la awa hey hey ya. Yo salam. Unbelievable. My browser just closed, so I'm going to say Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Le'olam Vayed. And we're going to move to a discussion without a handout as part of our preparation for Pesach. This coming Shabbat, we have a maftir called HaChodesh. It's chapter 12 of Exodus. And the discussion is essentially let me adjust for that. I've opened up the browser again. And so our handout is available on the Unique Astrological Times. You'll find the link under the two pictures on the right of every Hashem webpage. And when it opens up, you can scroll down to the section of the study for Pesach. And one of the links under the study for Pesach is titled Shabbat HaKodesh. And it's discussing the maftir, the Torah reading for the dessert, because maftir means dessert. The Torah reading for the maftir of the Shabbat, which is known as Shabbat HaKodesh. It's one of the four special readings. It's actually the fourth of the special readings. It's the last one. Although that's not quite true, because there is an upcoming Shabbat called Shabbat HaGadol, which we will discuss perhaps next week. It is called Shabbat HaChodesh. It is always read on the Shabbat that is prior to Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Or sometimes it actually is read on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It consists of chapter 12 of the book of Exodus. It consists of 20 verses which connect back to the first of the four, which is the half shekel reading, which teaches that a shekel is 20 gerar. The number 20 represents the 10 sephirot of direct light, and the 10 sephirot of returning light. But that doesn't address what is the purpose of this special reading, which is what we need to understand. What is the energy of this special reading? The whole purpose is to remind us to grow our consciousness, to grow our vessel. This is because the word HaKodesh means the new month. These 20 verses are explaining how we are to declare the new moon. And this means that there is no new moon until man declares it and recognizes it on a conscious level. Understand the implications of this statement. Most people would say the moon is the moon. And it goes around in 28 and a quarter days, or approximately that length. And man has no impact on the moon. But that is totally false. And that is the purpose of this reading, is for us to realize that we control the moon. We control the planets. We control the sun. The stars. I'm continuing to read. I know that this is not what our scientists teach us. They tell us that the moon is following its orbit, and the relationship to the sun is what causes the new moon. This is teaching about physical cause and effect. Kabbalah teaches us to look for the spiritual cause. The spiritual cause is where Hashem is concealing himself from us. When we look for the spiritual cause, we are revealing Hashem. When we as human beings declare the new moon, we are injecting the consciousness of mankind into this new cycle of our life, this new year. We are bringing time, represented by the cycle of the planets, from an unconscious level to a conscious level. Time is the distance between cause and effect. Time is a manifestation of the Sephirah of Chesed, which is the highest consciousness of our physical world. Some aspects of the 20 verses as taught by Kabbalah. Here is an English translation of the second verse in the Maftir for Shabbat HaKodesh. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. But we are taught that the first month of the year is Tishrei, the seventh month. So this is a conflict that needs to be resolved. I'm continuing to read. The Kabbalists have constantly commented on this verse. Since the emphasis is on to you, it shall be the first month of the year to you. The Hebrew word is not atah, which we are used to from the formulaic blessings of Baruch Atah. The word is lechem, which translates as the plural of you. The gematria is 90. And when we add the kolel, it becomes 91, indicating to us an energy of unification. In my opinion, the unification hinted at is the union of our conscious with our unconscious. What happens when we, mankind, declares the new moon time on the Shabbat prior to Rosh Chodesh, as we will do this coming Shabbat? Here is a hint. In Kabbalistic minyans, the time is announced in as many languages as the minyan has members with the knowledge of how to say the announcement of the new moon. If you know Mandarin, then it is announced in Mandarin. If you know Cantonese, it is announced in Cantonese. If you know Russian, it is announced in Russian. And this is true for all languages of the world. Remember the teaching that the Sanhedrin announced the new moon, and the Sanhedrin members required to speak all 70 languages, plus Hebrew and Aramaic. There are additional items that need to be added here. Due to the time considerations, they have not yet been added. My commentary. The unity of the last six parashiyot of the book of Exodus has a great insight into the meaning of the holiday of Pesach and hints to us what is our spiritual work. I have mentioned in other classes that we would be looking at the meaning of these parashiyot. Mishpatim, Truma, Tetzaveh, Kitisah, Vayechel and Pikudei, along with the four special readings, that of the half shekel, that of Parashat Zachor for Amalek, the Para Aduma to remove death, and HaKodesh, our discussion today. All of these have to do with consciousness and growing our consciousness to include the levels of our unconscious. Here is just one thought with this in mind. Feel free to contemplate this unity for yourself. It will help you grow your consciousness. Mishpatim refers to laws. Truma to contributions. Tetzaveh to commanding, which is idol worship. Kitisa, if or when you take. Layachel, assemble. Ikudei, accountings, which put things in order. The law is to make a contribution, yet it is not a command, and we need to guard against it becoming an idol. When you take your unconscious and assemble it with your consciousness, make sure you do to yourself accounting first. Otherwise, even self-analysis becomes an idol. And that is the end of this handout. So let us go back to the unique astrological times link and take the next link in order, which is the first days of Nisan. In the first, this link for the first days of Nisan has all of the days from the Rosh Chodesh Nisan through the 14th of Nisan. And we need to read a Torah portion, and we need to study about that Torah portion. And we need to study about the month that is associated with that day. I'm not going to spend the time today to resolve that. Just to explain that coming next Sunday, starting at 10 a.m., instead of doing the morning prayer, I'm going to do the morning prayer, which is the reading of the Torah of the Aliyah for that day. But I'm, in addition to that, going to be studying the month that is associated with that day. And if you scroll down a little bit on the unique astrological times, you have a discussion of Shabbat HaGadol. Shabbat HaGadol is a Shabbat that is before Pesach. Shabbat HaGadol has a unique name. The Big Shabbat is the translation of Shabbat HaGadol. And we need to understand why it has a unique name, because most people don't ever make this connection of why it's there. Why is it called Shabbat HaGadol? Meaning the big Shabbat. What makes that Shabbat before Pesach so important that it has a unique name? And remember, the essence of a thing is in its name. So I'm opening up the link for Shabbat HaGadol, and I'm starting to read. The Shabbat HaGadol, the reading is usually the Parasha of Tzav. Shabbat HaGadol could be translated as the big, or the mature, or the large Shabbat. The explanation as to why this Shabbat before Pesach is called Shabbat HaGadol have never satisfied me. The explanations have to do with physical explanations dealing with the first Shabbat before the actual Exodus, the leaving of Egypt with Moshe and the children of Israel. We know that nothing in our tradition is due to physical things. There is always a spiritual explanation. The gematria of HaGadol is 42. This relates to the 42-letter name of Hashem, known as the Anabakoa. It is taught that Hashem used this name to create our physical world. This Shabbat before Pesach is the purpose of creation. As Rashi said, the Torah should not start with in a beginning or Bereshit, but with the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, the mitzvah of counting the new moon or identifying the new moon. The same should be said about the Shabbat before the first Pesach. This Shabbat has the energy of the Exodus, which is the energy of creation, and also the purpose of creation. It is fitting that the reading always on Shabbat HaGadol is Tzav. This reading has 96 verses, which is the gematria of the name of the parasha. This only happens this one parasha a year, the parasha of Shabbat HaGadol. 96 is Tzadi Vav, which is the Hebrew word Tzav, which means command. But command has the meaning of idol worship. That is why the parasha is called Tzav. That's why HaGadol is this special name. There's not a special reading, except the reading is the normal cycle. But that normal cycle is connecting us to a vaccine against idol worship. Why do we need this vaccine against idol worship? Because Satan and the negative system will always strive to bring us down. They will always strive to interfere in our free choice. They will always strive to become idols. Become the statement of idols, the essence of a loss of free will. And we need that energy, that vaccine against idol worship on the Shabbat before we break free of the negative system of Satan. I'm continuing to read. Tzav means command. The Zohar teaches us that whenever we do an action because we are commanded to do so, we are doing idol worship, even if that command is from Hashem. The reason we do these mitzvot, which are commanded by Hashem, must be from our free choice, not because we are commanded. Many religious people speak of doing Hashem's will. We must grow our consciousness to understand that Hashem created us to reveal this light. Therefore, His will is our desire. Please reread this sentence. The will of Hashem is our desire. Our desire is what Hashem wants. Our desire is the will of Hashem. Of course, this must be understood that when our desire is selfish, it must first be cleansed by changing it to a desire to receive in order to share. This is the essential teaching of Kabbalah. This is the essential teaching that we must learn as we cleanse our homes and ourselves of chametz, the puffed up ego that leaves no room for Hashem. There are 14 spaces in this parasha. This teaches us that this is the malchut, or manifestation of the year. Our hands have 14 bones, 3 bones for in each of our 4 fingers and 2 in our thumbs. And this is a total of 14, which is both the gematria of Yud Dalet and the meaning of the word Yad, which is hand in Hebrew. We manifest things with our hands. In this parasha, we learn the lessons of manifesting our ultimate desire, which is to get close to Hashem. Of course, we choose to get closer to Hashem in order to give pleasure to Hashem, not to receive pleasure from Hashem. But this is a very high level of consciousness and will be totally achieved with the help of the Mashiach. So have you cleansed yourself of chametz for Pesach? Or have you cleansed your house for Pesach? Do you understand the difference? This is the lesson of the parasha of Tzav, meaning command. The parasha of Tzav has an unusual connection within it. The center of the Torah in verses is within this parasha. It is between verses 7 and 8 of chapter 8 of Vayikra. It is recommended that the reader stop at this point to allow the congregation to meditate on what does it mean to be at the middle point of something, especially the Torah. The ultimate lesson of Torah is balance. The middle, the center. Or balance is the path for each of us relative to our own tikkun, our own corrections. When we realize that our desire is Hashem's desire, that our will is Hashem's will, that the purpose of life is to be in balance and achieve balance with our actions, by removing our chametz, our ego, by eating matzah, we achieve freedom from our desire to receive for oneself alone. This is the only battle we will ever have to win. This is the only battle we will ever have to fight. This war will wage forever in our lives until the coming of Mashiach. Until then, we will always have to fight this battle for our desire to receive for oneself alone, and transform it into the desire to receive in order to share. The first step in planning and winning this battle is to learn the difference between sharing and giving. I give what I want to give without consciousness of the receiver. I give as an agenda. I share what is best for the receiver of what I share because I have removed my personal investment, my ego in giving what I want, so that I share what is best for my friend. A good example of this is we have gifts that we've received from people for our birthday or for another holiday. And these gifts don't really excite us. They're not something I truly desire. So we store them away until we have a birthday or some other reason to go to another person and give them that same gift. They may or may not desire it. It's not the question. The question is, I did not desire it, and I saved it to give to another person. But that's not the desire to receive in order to share. When I decide to share, that's when my desire, the sharing of the gift, becomes holy. If I am giving, these are the same actions. I give, but the consciousness has to be not giving, but sharing. Otherwise, I'm creating chaos in my own life. I'm returning to the reading. I share what is best for the receiver of whatever I share because I have removed my personal investment, my ego, in giving what I want. And I share what is best for my friend. This is a major goal. That's what Shabbat HaGadol is all about. That's what Shabbat HaKodesh is all about. Learning to share rather than give. Does anybody have any questions about what I'm trying to get across to you today?
How do you share without giving?
You share when you send someone something without an expectation that you're going to receive anything in return.
You're still sending something to someone. Just you have no expectation for something in return.
But you have to strive to remove that expectation. But it doesn't have to be a thing that you are sharing. You can share love. You can share happiness. You can share joy. You can share chas v'shalom anger. These are the feelings that you have. They're metaphysical energies, and they're able to be shared. It doesn't have to be a physical thing. Yes, we share things. We give three-year-olds toys for their birthday. But what are we really doing when we give them a toy, when we share with them a toy? What we're doing is building their ego, which is what's necessary for children to develop. Because without an ego, without that growth of the desire to receive, there would not be the light drawn into the physical world. Hashem requires our desire. He desires our desire to receive. That's what draws the light into the world. But if we do that for ourselves alone, if we desire for ourselves alone, we are limiting that light being drawn into the physical world. But if I desire light from Hashem in order to share with others, there's no limitation. I become a pipe, a channel. I don't become a vessel. What's the difference between a pipe and a teacup? There is a big difference. A pipe is a form of a vessel, but it has no limitation of how much it can hold. Whereas a teacup, I can measure the amount of ounces of liquid it can hold. And it cannot hold more than that. I put a limitation on Hashem's sharing if I am a vessel. The desire to receive in order to share represents becoming a pipe, becoming a channel for the flow of Hashem's light, for the flow of Hashem's goodness. How do you change giving to sharing? By becoming a pipe, by not limiting it, what you receive, to what Hashem is sharing with you. By you transferring that sharing further on to other vessels, you allow Hashem to grow, to share more, and you receive more. That's the discussion of teaching of Kabbalah. Is that clear? Did I lose you, Bernice? Mm-hmm. Is it clear?
It's clear, but sometimes it gets a little muddy.
Well, that's also true. I'm just trying to make it as clear as I can. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it means that my consciousness isn't clear. Mm-hmm. And that's what the reality is. So if your consciousness is truly sharing, it won't be muddy.
Mm-hmm. The consciousness is that. But sometimes when you express, I'm not quite sure.
And that's my fault, not yours. Mm-hmm. But you need to clarify it by continuing to ask questions. Ultimately, desire to receive is consciousness. That's an important thing to realize. Consciousness is life. If you don't think, there's no life. The philosopher Descartes said, "I think, therefore I am." But the first word in that sentence is I, meaning that there is life even if you are not conscious of that life. But by definition, consciousness is desire to receive. If I have no desire to receive, there is nothing being drawn into this physical world in the form of goodness, in the form of light. I have to have developed a desire to receive in order to bring goodness and light into our physical world. Hashem created trees and animals. And we participate and utilize these trees and these animals and these plants. We utilize them. The fact that we utilize them is a desire to receive. But if I utilize them, if I desire them based on my capacity to hold them, I'm limiting Hashem. So I strive to become a channel, to become a pipe, that those things can flow through me to others. And in the flow of those things to others, I expand the light that I draw into this world. I hope that's clearer for you.
I observe that in many instances.
Baruch Hashem, that's what's important. If we could always have the desire to share, there would be no limit to the light that comes into the world through us.
Hanok.
Yes, Hannah.
I want to thank Bernice for asking the question, because it really did help with you expounding on it. Thank you, Bernice. And thank you, Hanok.
I can say to both of you, you're welcome. And I agree with Hannah that the question is very important. And it's very important for people who listen to the recording to understand the question and why it was asked and what it's how the answer helps us understand. If you don't know that desire to receive is consciousness, you find yourself limiting. And it's very difficult to change the desire to receive for oneself alone. The consciousness of selfishness, it's difficult to change it, to become a pipe, to become a channel, to have the desire to receive in order to share. It's difficult to give instead of sharing, because when you give, you create chaos in your life. When you share, you find serenity. Many people use these terms interchangeably, and they're very different. And Shabbat HaGadol, Parashat Tzav, is that opportunity to recognize that difference between giving and sharing. And I use the words intermittently sometimes. I'm striving to always realize that I don't ever want to give. I don't ever want an agenda. But people hurt us. People cause us to become selfish. It's not that they cause us to become selfish, but we become selfish by choice. And that's what's so dangerous. Because selfishness, the desire to receive for oneself alone, that consciousness is how we create chaos in our lives. And we want to stop the chaos. And that requires us to constantly have the idea of sharing. And what do we mean by sharing? To be aware that I just want to give this. See, I used the wrong word. I just want to share this with someone else. Not because I'm expecting anything in return, but because I can receive pleasure if I share. But if I give, sometimes I will receive pleasure, and sometimes I won't. When will I not receive pleasure if I give? It's when my expectation of receiving in return, it becomes disappointed. The person doesn't give back to me what I'm expecting. This is the difference between sharing and giving. Are there any more questions? I'm reminding you, and you can put down in your notes, Motzi Shabbat, this coming Shabbat. There are 2 days of Rosh Chodesh this coming Shabbat and Sunday. Saturday night, Motzi Shabbat, we will have a class on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, our normal monthly connection. But it's not a normal monthly connection. Why isn't it a normal monthly connection? Because it's a connection to the whole year. And that's why Hashem has connected each month to one of the 12 days of Nisan, the first 12 days. We know that Rosh Chodesh allows us to connect to that month and control the astrological influences. But doing so on the first 12 days of Nisan is also and truly more beneficial. Learning to share on Nisan is what we are striving to do. The correction of the Aries person, the sun sign born in Aries, the moon sign that's born in Aries. This astrological influence is there to be corrected. And what is that correction? The correction of Aries is to learn the difference between giving and sharing. Shabbat Shalom, Shavuot Tov. I hope you have a beautiful day. We have a class at 3 o'clock West Coast time that is actually the continuing study of the Psalms. Shalom to everyone. Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you.
I hope you're beginning to understand why I say Shabbat Gadol and other people don't. They say Shabbat Shalom, but most don't.